mind, we're in the book of Acts chapter 9. Those of you listening to us, oh, by the way, Anna, would you pass out the sheet maybe to Mr. Warren, maybe Jack, Ken, you need one. This is just one of my things. Here it is, Jack. That way you know exactly where we are. Acts chapter 9. Those that are out there listening to us, you call us if you wish at 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Or email 856-261 and then questions@bftbc.org. Questions@bftbc.org. All right, we're in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. And last Thursday we stopped at verse number 25. So let's read 25, 26, and 27 together, beginning at verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he said he joined himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. This chapter 9, first of all, deals with what topic at the beginning?
Conversion of
Saul. Saul of Tarsus.
Persecution.
That's right. And he was going to what city?
Damascus.
For what purpose?
To arrest
and imprison
the Christians
and come bring him back to Jerusalem for trial and possibly for death. And so the Lord Jesus met him. And he brought him there by this man, and he put his hands on him, and he was blinded, wasn't he? Blinded, and this man, Ananias, touched him, and he healed his eyesight and was able to see again. And so now, when he was in the Damascus, Damascus, brought him into the city, preached Christ, what did the people in Damascus want to do with Saul? Want to kill him. Mm-hmm. They wanted to murder him because they were Jews that did not want this preaching of Christ. He preached that he was the Messiah, the Lord Jesus was the Messiah, and so they didn't like that, so he escaped. Now, where were the Jews guarding the city of Damascus? At the gates. Why were they guarding at the gates?
In case he left.
I want to be sure he never got out of that city. They ought to kill him. Anna?
Because that's the traditional method of exiting and entering a city.
That's
sharper. They outsmarted them.
That's right, they outsmarted
them.
Yeah, Jack.
What?
I didn't know.
I was just scratching my ear.
Okay. So that was not the traditional way. It was going through the gates out of the city. So what method did they use to get Saul out of that city? Secret.
A basket.
Just let him down over the wall. Basket. So now we come to verse 26, which we begin tonight. Where did they go then from Damascus?
To Jerusalem.
How far was that? Was it just are there
pretty far.
A few miles?
How far is it?
Over 100 miles, I think, isn't it?
Probably over 100 miles. So it took a long time to go, didn't it? The 14-mile hike you've seen in the Boy Scouts and stuff, but this is a long journey. But you went there.
No, I'm just at your
mind. Oh, okay. I want to get started. Okay. It's all right. And then he came to Jerusalem. What does it mean? He essayed to try. What does essayed mean?
He tried.
What did he try to do?
Join himself. In other words,
verse 26.
To fellowship with
the fellowship to the disciples. Now, what are disciples? What do they call them?
The Christians.
Christian people that follow the Lord in Jerusalem. He wanted to join himself and be a part of them.
Right.
And in verse 26. Did the disciples say that was great?
No, they were afraid of him. Last time they saw him, he was trying to kill them.
That's right. Afraid of him. Believed not that he was a disciple. Yes, Tammy?
And he had killed Stephen, and they probably knew all about that.
That's
that
right.
Was right.
Right there in Jerusalem.
Wasn't in Jerusalem?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yes. That stoning of Stephen, and they laid their clothes at the feet of Saul. Mm-hmm. So he was consenting unto his death, wasn't he? He was a murderer by conspiracy. And go ahead. So they were afraid and believed not. So they thought he was a phony disciple. Are there such?
Mm-hmm.
Phony Christians? How would you define a phony Christian? How would you define that?
Mm-hmm. Who isn't truly saved.
Not truly saved. Just uses the name, you know, but not genuinely saved. So they thought he was not the proper one. So he tried to dress us. Now, we'll see, our Sunday message is coming Sunday, there's a man, and we'll see about the atrophies, who did not want people to come into the church and drove them out. So it was like this almost. The disciples didn't want him. They wanted to keep him out.
Well,
they were afraid of him. Yeah,
the atrophies, it was a different thing. This was it. The disciples saw him as an unsaved man. He would take them any minute.
That's right. But the atrophies didn't want these fellowship of these Christians to come in here. It's just a question. Both people, these people right here and the atrophies, did not want somebody to come into their fellowship. They were afraid. Stay them out and drive them out. Yes, sir.
They were afraid he could have been a spy for the Jewish people.
That's right.
And find out what they were doing so that they could go after them.
Right. So then in verse 27, what happened after that when they didn't want to bring him to the fellowship?
But Barnabas.
Barnabas. Who was Barnabas?
Son of consolation.
Son of consolation. Bar is son and Barnabas is consolation. Son of consolation. He's related to somebody, isn't he?
John Mark.
Is he the uncle? Is he?
Yeah, he's
the uncle.
The uncle of John Mark. And Paul and Barnabas went on a journey, did they not?
Right.
One of the journeys, first, second, third missionary journey. And what happened to the two of them on that journey, after the journey was finished, to go on the next journey? What happened?
They split up.
They split up.
I think Mark left them or something.
Yes, he left them in the middle of it. Somewhere in the midst of the...
All right. He was young. At the end of the first,
journey.
Before the second. And so, what did Paul say about having Mark to go with him on the other journey, the next journey?
He didn't want him.
Didn't want him. Why didn't that? He want Mark to go with
him? He was reliable.
Well, that's right. And so...
He was young.
Now, what did Barnabas say about that?
Barnabas said it was his nephew. So,
that's
he
was went with Mark and split up.
They went
and who did Paul take then to go with him?
Silas.
So Paul and Silas went on the second and third missionary journey. So, but Barnabas took him. Took who?
Paul.
Saul. And brought him to the apostles. Now, did Barnabas think that Saul was honest and true? He did. That's right. And so Barnabas accepted his conversion. Brought him to the apostles. And yes, Dave.
In this 26 and 27, we have the plan for when a person becomes a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
First join a church with disciples here, and then earn the believer's respect and work with them, and then get a discipler who knows the Lord and his plan for you.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's a good plan. And right there. That's good, Dave. So Barnabas was that kind of a man, took him to the apostles. Now here they're called apostles. What is the difference between the word disciple and apostle?
Apostle is a sent one.
One who sent. Apostel, to send forth.
There were 12 that were sent.
12 originally. That's right.
Sent from the Lord.
Sent from the Lord. And so now up the other place, the disciples in Damascus, but here the apostles, they're in Jerusalem. So apparently some of the apostles were still in Jerusalem. Brought them to the apostles. And what did he declare in verse 27? Was something wrong with the video, Dan?
Yeah, a little sound problem.
Okay.
I think it's fixed now. We just double check.
Anybody else have a sound problem, give us a call, 856-261-9018, or questions at bftbc.org, give us a call, or an email. So, what did Barnabas declare to these apostles?
Testimony that Saul had.
Testimony. What did he say that Saul...
Seen the Lord.
He'd seen the Lord in a way. What way was that?
The road to Damascus.
Road to Damascus. He'd seen the Lord. So here he had visibly seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Where was the Lord when he saw him?
In heaven.
He was in heaven, see? So, but he made very clear, so these apostles, yes, Anna.
I'm scratching.
Oh, okay. All right.
I've been scratching.
That's okay. No problem. We've got some scratching problems. It's all right.
It's on the dry heat.
Dry heat, okay. But the scratches continue. All right. Brought him to the Bible and declared that he'd seen the Lord in the way. And what else did he say? Not only had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but what else?
He'd spoken to him.
So the Lord Jesus had spoken to him. What did the Lord say to Saul?
Why persecutest thou me?
Was he persecuting him? How could he persecute the Lord Jesus who was way in heaven?
Because he was persecuting the Christians.
Persecuting the Christians. And the Christians and the Lord Jesus were one. You persecute the Bible-believing Christians, you persecute the Lord Jesus himself. And so, he says, in the way I had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly. What's this, the second thing, third thing in that verse 27? What does that mean, he preached boldly? Where?
Damascus.
Damascus. How? In what? What power?
The power of the Holy Spirit.
In the name?
Synagogues and taught
the name of Jesus. Remember, in the earlier part of this chapter 9, he showed that he was the very Christ, he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah. He really, as a Jew who's converted completely, he believed. Did Saul know the gospel message even before he met the Lord Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, he'd heard, I'm sure, at Jerusalem, he knew this, but did he believe it at first?
Mm-mm.
He didn't believe it. Yes, Tammy.
Well, in verse 22, it says he confounded the Jews, so they were just befuddled by everything that had happened, because they knew him as this great teacher,
right. This
great Pharisee, this leader of the Jews, and,
mm-hmm.
and now he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he had persecuted.
Yes, and so it was amazing, it was a miracle, wasn't it? And so in verse 27, he preached the name of Jesus. 25, 6 is that right? Let's read 28, 29, and 30 together. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Troas. Is that the
Tarsus?
Tarsus, I mean Tarsus. Is that the three verses?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So in verse number 28, he was with them. Who's the them referred to there?
Yes,
the apostles. The apostles, right? So he did join with the disciples, apostles, those Christians, coming in and going out. What does that imply?
I feel like they came in and out of Jerusalem.
So they probably had witnessing, and they went to different places, witnessing of the Lord. And then in verse 29, how did Saul speak?
Boldly.
What does that mean, to speak boldly?
Just what I said.
What does it mean?
Wasn't afraid. To do it.
He was
without hesitancy,
unapologetic. He was a strong, how, in what name? In the name of what?
Jesus.
Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was a champion for the Savior, wasn't he? Champion for the Lord Jesus. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Jack.
Now I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
It's legitimate now.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Apostle Paul, because
mm-hmm.
Apostle Paul was a very dedicated to being a servant for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, it says that in the book of Philemon.
That's right. And this Saul himself, before he was named Paul, it's the same one, it's Paul, but very, very serious for the Lord, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
He was. Okay, Dave.
The next thing I have in my Bible is he disputed against the Grecians. The next thing is learn how to argue the Word of God.
Yes.
And
yes.
Know the Word and be able to argue with people.
Yes.
And
right.
Talk to people.
Yeah, very good.
And answer their questions.
Right.
And boy, he's gone a long way in just a short time there.
Exactly. So he knew the Word, he taught the Scriptures, and he was excellent in refuting error, wasn't he? And then Anna, I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's interesting how it says that he spake boldly, but later in the epistles, we learn that his speech was contemptible. So not only did he have to overcome this, like, just, you know, preaching something that people didn't want to hear, but he also had to overcome the whatever sort of speaking impediment he may
mm-hmm.
have had.
And some people believe maybe it was the thorn in the flesh might have been a speech impediment. Some of those people think maybe it was something with his eyes. But yes, he had to learn how to tone himself down and speak boldly and not in an angry fashion, fleshly fashion. Boldly and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important that that's the case. And then disputed, as Dave said, against the Grecians. Why did he dispute with the Grecians? Who were the Grecians? What did they believe? What did they not believe?
It would be Greeks.
They'd be Greeks? Were they Jews?
Philosophy.
It says they were Greek-speaking Jews in the footnote.
Could be Greek-speaking Jews. But at least they had, as you say, Dave, the Greeks want foolish. They love wisdom. And the Jews want science.
Looking for a sign.
So unsaved Jews are Christians, or rather Grecians probably. And what did the Grecians do when he disputed with them? Did they say, well, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you, but we'll agree to disagree?
No.
What did they do?
They were wanting to kill him.
All right, what about the slaying? So this was the second time that people wanted to kill him. Yeah, Dave?
I think that this is one reason why the Lord chose Saul to be Paul, was because naturally he was a person that was very forthright, and he was a choleric personality. Mm-hmm. And he was able to do that right off, because I think that's why some people had a hard time getting along with him, like John Mark.
Right.
Because he was this man who was
very strong,
could talk to anybody and was strong, and here comes a melancholic fella that was just a little scared, and they didn't get along.
Right. So the answer to them, if they can't get along, is kill him. Is that a good response? Paul's logic? No, not to kill him, but that's what they... So the second time they went about to slay him. In Damascus, they went to kill him. I heard Jerusalem went to kill him. Now, is that what people are trying to do even today, the Christians?
They went about to slay him at the end of verse 29. Okay.
Is that happening to Christians in the Middle East? Yes. Any place in the Middle East? There's slain thousands, just all kinds of, whether they're nominal Christians or genuine Christians, I don't know, but they call themselves Christians, killing them and slaughtering, and even some slaying their own Muslims who are not really as strong in killing as the others. Mm. It's a sad thing. So, should we slay those that we differ with?
No,
thou shalt not kill. It's very clear, isn't it? Very clear. Did we read 30?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Which, when the brethren knew, who are the brethren here?
Well, they're Christians.
Oh, they're Christian believers. When they knew what? About what, do you think?
They knew that they were going to slay them.
He joined himself, Saul joined himself to the brethren, the Christians at Jerusalem. They knew all the things. When they heard that they were about to slay him, what did they do in verse 30?
They went to Caesarea.
Down to Caesarea. It's maybe 15, 20 miles to the south. Yes, huh?
Is this Caesarea by the sea?
Yeah, by the sea, yeah. Caesarea by the sea.
I remember that.
Caesarea Philippi is another.
Oh, I thought it was north of Galilee. Caesarea.
Could it be a little bit north of north of Jerusalem?
Caesarea we saw.
Right?
What?
Yeah, we went to Caesarea. When my mom sent us to Jerusalem, we stopped at the Caesarea.
The Holy Land, not just Jerusalem.
No, that's right, but the whole Holy Land. We stopped at Caesarea, and they showed us different things there at the seashore. And that's where Paul was. How many years was he there before he went to Rome? Two or three, I think it was. I'm not sure if it was two or three. And so he had all the people could come and talk to him at Caesarea, and he could converse with them, tell them about the Lord. Yes, Dave?
This verse shows that he was a missionary right away.
Yes.
They sent him right away.
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't happen very easy now.
He didn't have to go to school.
That's right.
Yeah. And he didn't raise the port.
That's right.
But they sent him right away.
Very good.
And that's amazing.
It is amazing. They brought him down to Caesarea, sent him forth. They just, as you say, they commissioned him to Tarsus. He's called Saul of Tarsus, isn't he?
Yes.
Is that right? Saul of Tarsus.
It's his hometown.
Yeah, little town there. And that's where we've read that. Now let's read 31, 32, and 33 together. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout the quarters, he came down to the saints as well as living. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. All right, verse 31. And then at the church's rest. What are churches? How would you define churches?
Groups of Christians.
Groups of Christian people gathered together. Did they necessarily have huge, huge buildings?
No. Not then.
A lot of times they met where?
At homes.
At homes. That's right.
That's where the philosophy of this church comes from.
Yes.
Philemon, church in thy house.
Church in thy house, Philemon. Exactly right. Church in thy house. Jack, you got that right. That's a good verse. So the churches, they had rest. Why did the churches, how many places were affected by this rest in this verse?
Judea.
Galilee.
Samaria.
Well, why did they have rest in these three places?
Saul wasn't persecuting them.
Saul was not persecuting. Well, that's training the jail.
Trying to kill them.
That's right. So he was trying to kill Christians, and the Jews were trying then to kill him. He was, first of all, the murderer. Now he's the one to be murdered. Mm-hmm. That's the sad thing. Rest. And we're edified. What's that mean?
Built up.
How does a person who's saved get edified or built up?
Study the Word of God.
Study the Word of God.
Encouragement
for other Christians. And in the Scriptures, it's able to, as Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he's able to, the Word of God, which is able to build you up. He's able to build you up to all of them that are sanctified. Something to that effect. The Word of God builds us up and edifies. Now, what might tear us down? What might tear saved Christians down?
Criticism.
Criticism could? What else?
Sin.
What else?
The weight.
The
weight which just so
easily beset us.
Disputing?
Disputing.
Among the Christians?
Yes. And unsaved people? And lost. Yes, Anna?
Which the weight wouldn't necessarily have to be a sin. It might just be something that would be a time waster or something.
Time waster? Like TV or internet or something like that? Yes. Mm-hmm. The weight thing. Easily beset us. That's right. Yeah.
And you know what else tears them down? Is idolatry.
Idolatry, that's right, Jack. Like worshiping things that can see. But whatever it be, whether it's real idols or whether it's movies. Or
like there's a group of people who worship the cow.
That's right. They're copies.
Yes. Hindus,
that's right. Someone said that just the other day to us. Who was that that told us about the worship of the cows? We were somewhere. Where was it, honey?
I don't know.
That's why, was it you at that time that you said?
I don't know.
They worship, they won't kill animals because they believe animals are sort of like God or something, right?
Well, everything.
In India.
Pantheism.
Right, everything's God.
Reincarnation.
Reincarnation. So, they.
You might come back as a cow or you might come back as an ant.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Now, it's also in verse 30, who was talking about that, Bob?
I don't know. I
think Tammy was. We're talking about Hinduism.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe in one of the classes.
Or at Wendy's.
At Wendy's.
Oh, it could have been at Wendy's. Yeah.
I remember that. I noticed they were not only edified and built up. If you're saved and born again, genuinely saved, and you're not built up by the Word of God, following them, what might you be instead of being built up?
Torn down.
Torn down. Either stay the same or torn down. That's right. But God wants to build it. What else is true of these believers, these churches, verse 31?
Walking in the fear.
Walking in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember the book of Psalms? Fear of the Lord. What would it be, the fear of the Lord? Would it be God-fearing people?
Reverence.
That's right. Reverence and respect the Lord. And realizing that He is powerful, and if we don't walk in His way, He's able to discipline us and give us, what is it called in Hebrews?
Chastening.
That's right, chastening. And he was able even to have those Christians that committed the sin unto death, like Ananias and Sapphira. What did he do to them?
He slew them.
He slew them in Acts chapter 5. And so they walked in the fear of the Lord. In other words, they realized he is the one to honor in all that. Walking in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean?
They're being comforted by the Holy Spirit.
Comforted. Where was the Holy Spirit in regard to these Christians?
Inside.
The Holy Spirit indwelled those that are genuinely saved. And that was so true. So, in what way does the Holy Spirit comfort Christians? Those genuinely saved.
Reminds us of the Word of God.
Reminds the Word of God. It gives us, if we're generally controlled by the Holy Spirit, it gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And what are those elements?
Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance.
Against such, there's no law. The comfort. Now, does this mean necessarily they were all well-to-do and rich? Mm-hmm. No. Can God comfort even those that are lowly and poor?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. If you're built up in the things of the Lord, you can comfort us no matter what our status. And so
the
soul needs comfort, that's right. Even if the body is in pain, the Holy Spirit can comfort. We've prayed for several that were in pain and in sickness tonight, and the Holy Spirit can give comfort even in that severeness of the pain. Comfort of the Holy Ghost, very important. And so build up and comfort, and they were multiplied. What does that mean?
People were getting saved.
Getting saved, right?
Rather than by addition, multiplication.
That's addition is plus.
That's a
plus.
That's right. In other words, 3 plus 3 is 6. But 3 times 3 is 9. So that's a multiplication, isn't it? So it's amazing. We don't have that much multiplication these days, but they were in those days because they had nowhere else to turn. All right.
I was confused because I was confused with the concept. I thought you were. Never mind. I was thinking that we didn't learn multiplication anymore, and I was confused.
Well, some people don't. They have a different new math that teaches the same way, and the core curriculum is completely different than multiplication tables. I don't even understand the core curriculum the way they do it. The new math. All right, did we read 30, which verse did we stop at?
33.
So keep going. Verse 32, it came to pass. What does that phrase indicate?
It happened.
Time passed.
Time, that's right. And as Peter passed throughout all quarters. Now, who was Peter?
He was one of the original 12.
Well, 12 apostles, Peter apostle. Was he the first pope?
No.
Do people sometimes teach he's the first pope? Yes. Can popes marry?
No. They want to.
Well, I mean, but is it part of the Roman Catholic Church? The popes should marry?
Not anymore.
Did Peter marry?
Yes.
Yes, he had
Peter's, a mother-in-law.
His mother-in-law. Peter's wife's mother. That's right. So, but Peter passed through all quarters. Now, what does that mean? How about the nickels or dimes?
All the places where people live.
Places where people live, not the quarters. Okay. Places where people live. It came also to the saints. So who are the saints? Holy people of the Roman Catholic Church?
No. Christians.
The believers.
Hagios. I mean, set apart ones. That word for hagios. Hagios, set apart people. Mm-hmm. And every time the scriptures use the word saints, it's genuinely born again saved people. So it came also to the saints. So now we have Christians called three different things in these verses we've covered so far. What's the first one we heard from? What's the second one we heard from?
What was the question?
Disciples.
Christians were called three different things in this section. Disciples were what then?
Apostles.
Apostles were the second.
And saints.
The saints were the third. They're all saved, born again Christians, genuinely saved, and which dwelt at Lydda. It's another place where they came and came down to the saints. So Peter was a missionary. He went to these places. And we were at 33, didn't we?
Yes. Okay.
And what did Peter find at Lydda?
The man.
What was his
Aeneas.
Name? Aeneas. And what was his problem? What was Aeneas' problem?
He kept his bed.
In other words, he didn't want anybody to take it.
He stayed in bed.
Nobody could take it from
him. He was sick.
How long was he sick?
Palsy.
I don't suppose.
8 years. 8 years. What's that?
There was a question as if he ever made it, but I'm thinking that if he was always
in bed,
it would be difficult to make it.
Now, what was this sickness? Why was he in bed?
They can make a bed when you're in bed.
Well, yes, but he wouldn't make it.
But they just had these rolling things.
But it's rolled just constant things. So what was his problem? Why was he in bed?
He had palsy.
What is palsy? How would you describe
shakes.
It?
Shakes.
Parts of it, shaking, different things.
It was paralysis.
Paralysis, that's good. Paralysis.
Is that what it is?
And for how many years again?
Any voluntary muscles as a result of
Disorder
to the nervous system.
That's so right. So our footnotes are defined.
Involuntary tremors.
Very good. Now, I heard a man, for 8 years, you're right, 8 years he was in this trouble. I had a man call a couple days ago, and he said, I don't agree with your defined King James Bible and defining the words of the Bible. He said, the words could be defined somewhere in the Bible on their own. I said, that's exactly what Gail Ripperter teaches, but to find the meaning of the word, you got to go to this chapter and this chapter and this book all over the Bible to find the meaning of the word. We're just trying to make it simple so that uncommon words can be easily understood today. So you don't have to change the versions in any way, shape, or form. Anyway, this is one of the examples. As Tammy said, she gave us the meaning of palsy. Yeah, Anna.
We're not adding to the Bible, we just have footnotes. It's like a study Bible.
Exactly.
Or, I mean, does he, would he believe in a study Bible?
I don't know.
He take offense with any sort of study Bible?
Well, I know his father, I think, of Gail Ripperter. And I know Gail Ripperter despises our King James, defined King James Bible. In fact, we said several, she doesn't open, she just was absolutely told. Anyway, but he was sick of the palsy, oh, that's a terrible disease. All right, let's read 34, 35, and 36 together. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Lord. And now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, and the woman was full of good works and alms deeds by what she did. Is that three verses? 34?
Yeah.
And now, verse 34. Did Peter see this man? What did he say to the man?
Jesus Christ makes you whole.
And notice.
Make your bed.
So he's finally going to make his bed. So finally we got that song. He might not be able to make his own bed when he's sitting and sleeping in it, but. Make probably take up your bed and walk or something. Yes, ma'am.
I think they had like pallets that they rolled up. That's what I heard one time. And then they would just.
Were some beds more palatable than others?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
more expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's because I think they had some different kinds of beds.
Yes, it is.
Sort of like stationary beds, and then they might have had like more of a sleeping bag for lack of modern comparisons, or sleeping bag type of bed.
Because you remember that one that was sick for many, many years, what did the Lord Jesus say to him? Take up that bed and walk. So apparently it was something he could carry, some rolled it up or something. So that was the way that they had their beds. And so he made up his bed, and what happened when Peter told him, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole? What happened to him in verse 34?
He arose immediately.
Immediately. That was a miracle, and it was the Lord Jesus.
Did he ask to be healed? I can't remember.
Didn't say anything about it, but he knew he was in a bad shape. He needed to be healed, whether he asked for it or not, he needed to be healed. Right. He may have said.
I just wondered, Peter just went to him and did.
Well, he could see that it was a very serious case. And then in verse 35, what was the result of that miracle?
All that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord.
Turned to the Lord. Now, what effect did miracles have in the early church before the Bible was completed?
Brought many to Christ.
They could see this was God's will, God's way of bringing many to Christ. They saw the miracle of it. Just like when the miracle of the Israelites going out of Egypt was a terrific miracle. Mm-hmm. All these plagues. So we read about it today and yesterday. But this miracle. Now, we have the Word of God which can bring people to Christ, but we don't need these miracles. But those were very powerful in the apostolic times. Yes, David.
The miracles gave weight to the truth of the Word of God and the ability of God to be doing something in the world.
Right. And he's giving. Did Peter say, I'm going to do it myself?
No.
What did he give the credit and glory to? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that gives you power to be healed. Jesus Christ said, maketh thee whole. And he rose. And all of God turned to the Lord. And now, did we read 36 yet?
Yes.
We did. Okay. Now, at Joppa, a disciple was there. What was the disciple's name?
Tabitha.
Is that a boy or a girl?
A lady.
A lady, okay.
Uh-oh.
My interpretation is called what? What is that?
Perfect.
What did you say?
I just said, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
It's a lady.
A lady. Gosh.
Not a girl.
Named Dorcas. Now, what was true of this woman?
She did good works.
Now, do you think she was saved?
Yes.
Is it all right when we're saved to do good works?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can a good work save us?
No.
But after we're saved, should we do good works for the Lord?
Absolutely.
How do we find good?
Based on the scriptures.
Anything in the scriptures?
According to God's will.
According to God's will and God's word. Hoover and alms deeds, what does that mean?
She gave money, I guess.
She gave money to help people, which is great to do. She was a giving person.
Was it specifically money, or could that be other things?
Well, could be good works. Anything in the footnotes on that?
It says money or goods given as charity to the poor.
Good. So
at least it could be other things.
Yeah. It's basically the alms deeds.
Because wasn't she a seamstress?
I think so. Yes, I think
so. So she made things for
people. Yeah, I think so. We're going to stop right here at 36, but do you have any other comments or questions though before we close it? Yes,
you can't live on 100% good works like the Jehovah Witnesses do.
No, that's right. Do those good works save them?
No, it doesn't.
No, it does not.
Because you need grace and salvation.
Grace and perfect, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. But after we're saved, let's quote just by hand as we end Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith,
and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So salvation by grace through faith first, then works to follow to glorify the Lord. Any other comments or quotes before we close tonight? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. We thank thee, Father, we can see these verses. We thank thee that Saul found out who the Lord Jesus was, that he was converted and saved. Many realized that he became an enemy to the Jews that hated Christ and hated him. And twice, as we see even tonight, he was about to be killed, but he escaped out to deliver him from death. We thank thee, Lord. Help us to be faithful. We thank thee for these other miracles that Peter did and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad the people saw the Lord and came to the Lord because of this gigantic miracle that thou didst do in this healing. Take care of us, Lord. Bring us back on the Lord's day. May it be a blessing to us. Guide each one of us and keep us straight following the Lord Jesus in thy words. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you.